Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I'm glad you could join us on this week's podcast. We're going to have a really fun time, I have to tell you. Now, you know why we're here, don't you? We're here to help you with your personal confuser, as Leo Laporte likes to call it. I don't know why it is, but your personal computer can sometimes be your personal confuser. You know, it's almost like it's got a mind of its own and it wants to get in there and just mess yours up. But that's okay. We are in control. We are the masters of our domain. And we shall persevere and win over our personal confusers. Don't let them confuse you. You know how to get around being confused by a personal computer? Let's rewind that and try it again. Do you know how to get around being confused by your personal confuser? It's to have information that will help you get the upper hand over the sucker and strangle it by its skinny little neck. Okay, that's maybe a little graphic. But at any rate, you get the point that we need information. You see, the more information we have, the better educated we are, the more capable we are in the war against the personal computer. You might say, wow, Dr. Bill, it's not a war, is it? Well, you'd think it was listening to some people talk, but we'll get into that later in the podcast because I have a few stories to tell along those lines. All right. First of all, let me remind you that this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, for those of you that have downloaded this podcast for some strange reason and have no idea what it is. I don't know how that exactly could happen. You know, if you're kind of surfing across the radio dial and you hit on a program and you go, wow, what's this? I think I'll listen to it. You don't actually usually do that with a podcast, do you? Usually you have to go to a little effort to download it. So, you know, maybe it's a little silly to say, hey, let me tell you what this is about. You probably already know. But, hey, what do I know? You know, maybe you're sitting in a room with somebody else that downloaded the podcast, and you're listening, and you're going, what's this all about? And you need somebody to tell you. Well, I'll tell you. Here's what it's all about. It's about Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, me, sharing with you information that will help you with your personal computer, and also maybe, oh, I don't know, slightly entertain you at the same time. Now, our website is thecomputercurmudgeon.com. That's thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Okay? Thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Now, the definition of a curmudgeon, according to the website, is a crusty, irascible, cantankerous old person full of stubborn ideas. What? Hey? What are you talking about, Sonny? No. Hey, I'm not that old. I'm only 50. Yeah, hey, not even in the middle aged. You know, if 120 is the lifespan of man, I mean, that's according to the Bible, yeah, hey. Then, you know, 60 is midway. Not even there yet. Come on, give me a break. Cut me some slack. But, in terms of cantankerous and irascible, maybe I have to cop to that. Okay. But we try to have fun here on the podcast, and that's one of the things that we enjoy about it. Now, we are also part of the Tech Podcast Network, and we're proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. They are a group of people that have gotten together and said, let's educate folks about tech. And I've been doing this is now the 48th Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon podcast, and this is, by the way, August the 6th as I record this. So, hey, hot off the press. And I've joined with the forces of the Tech Podcast Network to help them with the purpose of spreading information about technology. Toward that end, we like to share with you what's going on other members of the Tech Podcast Network's podcast and let you know that there are other folks out there just as wacko as Dr. Bill, and of course, you need to know about them.
Hi, I'm Paul Muller, the host of The Caffeination. If you're like me, you need that extra shot in the arm in the morning, you need to come on over to The Caffeination. We're a twice weekly podcast. We cover all the best in tech news. We cover coffee. We cover caffeine. I try all the products so that you don't have to. So head on over to The Caffeination at caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Thanks and stay caffeinated, people.
Yeah, stay caffeinated. Hey, you know, I mean, geeks, coffee, goes together, you know, like Jolt Cola, which is still caffeination. So, hey, get caffeinated over there with Paul Muller and the Caffeination Podcast. See, we like to cross-promote one another. I like to think that Paul is over there playing a Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon spot just for you. You might say, Dr. Bill, you've got a spot like that? Well, of course I do. Hey, how else would someone over on the Tech Podcast Network be able to promote the podcast if I didn't have a Dr. Bill promo? Okay? You say, oh, hey, Dr. Bill, I'd like to hear it. You would? Well, that would be really cool. I think I'll play it. So just who is Dr. Bill? Why, he's the computer curmudgeon, of course, a geek that can trace his involvement back to the beginnings of computer technology that still likes to keep right on top of all things technical. So for tech news, notes, remembrances of things gone by, and geek culture humor, tune in to Dr. Bill as he grumbles and gripes about the evil empire, Microsoft, and extols the virtues of open source and freeware. For a rollicking good time, remember, the doctor is in. See, I told you I had my own promo. Cool, huh? Yeah. Okay. So, I'd like to think that Paul is over there playing that promo as I play his promo, and life is good in the universe. Anyway, there you go. So, let's talk about this past week. First of all, I was on vacation. So, you know what that means, don't you? Not a lot happened on the blog. Dude, I was so on vacation, it wasn't even funny. I didn't have an internet connection. I didn't have a dial-up internet connection. Not only did I not have broadband, I didn't have dial-up. I was totally disconnected from the entire interweb, so to speak. Now, that's weird. That's very odd. But you know what? I found out after a week of being totally disconnected, life did not end. It's a fascinating experiment. Yes, indeed. And I found out that if you are not connected to the internet at all, in any way, shape, or form, or fashion, you can't receive email, you can't send email, you can't look up tech news and information, and you can't blog about tech news and information. So there was a period of, shall we say, a dry spell in the blog. So it goes. Hey, you know, it's just the way the cookie crumbles. Because I was on vacation, dude, you won't get apologies from me. However, I will say this. It meant that there wasn't a lot of things to talk about on the podcast today, given that I didn't blog about a lot of things over the past week. So that means I'm going to have to ramble on incessantly for, oh, let's see, another 21 minutes or so. Won't that be fun? No. Because what I did when I got back from vacation is I set myself right down in front of my computer and I did quick blog entries, very, very tiny little blog entries, just to have something to talk about today on the podcast. Wasn't that kind of me? Yeah, I thought so. Anyway, first item that I blogged late last night after getting back from vacation was that there are 200 million downloads. We have crossed the threshold of 200 million downloads of Firefox. Now, this is definitely something to celebrate because Internet Explorer is a dog with fleas. It is a part of the evil empire. And we need to quit using Internet Explorer. If you got to the computercurmudgeon.com using Internet Explorer, shame, shame, shame on you. However, I'll forgive you because what you need to do is go to Mozilla.com, download Firefox, install Firefox, get rid of the Internet Explorer icon on your desktop. You can delete the icon. It won't delete Internet Explorer. You can delete the icon. And then use Firefox from now on. And life will be good because you will have less adware, spyware, junkware, malware, and other kinds of ware that I don't have prefixes for that you would not benefit by receiving. Yes, indeed. So, 200 million downloads. Dude, that means there are 200 million people out there using Firefox, and the internet is a safer place upon which to surf. It's just such a good thing. It's humbling, actually. At any rate, cool stuff. Also, next item. First Ubuntu billboard scene. You might say, what is an Ubuntu, and do I want to know about it? Yes, indeed you do. Ubuntu is a Linux distribution that was started by Mark Shuttleworth, who is a very, 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 very mega-rich dude in South Africa. Okay? This dude is, we're talking rich. Okay? But he decided to use his wealth to benefit humanity. How so? By creating a distribution. Actually, he personally didn't do it so much as get a whole bunch of geeks together and get them all working, and he helped fund this effort to create a Linux distribution that would be based on Debian, so dude, I'm behind it already, and be much easier to use, very much Windows-like, for the desktop version. Now, there is a server version. It's also very good, very stable, very solid, but it has no GUI, so it's not, you know, something that their average user is going to play around with. It's going to be a server distribution. Now, you can install a GUI on it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's the cool thing about Linux. You can do anything you want to with it. It's freedom of choice, freedom of software. There you go. Plus, also, Ubuntu has as a goal to be totally and absolutely free and open. That's part of the meaning of Ubuntu, is all of us joining arms together and being open. I almost knocked over a lamp there. I was waving my arms around so much. I talk with my hands. I wave my arms around. So if you hear things crash, don't pay attention. It's just furniture falling over. But at any rate, here's the thing. Ubuntu is a really cool distribution. It's been getting better and better and better over the years, and now it's gotten really, really good. We're up to version 6.06. And you need to download it and try it. Dude, if you haven't already, do so. Very cool. Now, it comes, so to speak, out of the box. No box, but you download it. Never mind. Anyway, it comes normally with the GNOME user interface. Now, I forgive it that. I'm sorry. I'm a KDE kind of guy, okay? I like KDE. I happen to prefer the way it operates and so forth. But because of freedom of choice, Ubuntu being so open, is that you can download Kubuntu. So you put a K in front of Ubuntu and you get Kubuntu. You can download that version, and it has KDE already integrated into it, and it's just such a lovely operating system. It's so cool. Plus, the Ubuntu version, when you install that, it's all brown. I don't like that. Kubuntu, when you install that, is all nice and blue, and I like that a lot better. You say, Dr. Bill, that's a weird way to judge an operating system. Dude, you judge your operating system the way you want to, and I'll judge the way I want to, okay? All right? Okay. Anyway, check it out. And there's even one called Edubuntu that is designed to give to kids in school to teach them about Linux. It's got all kinds of educational stuff built into it. Very cool stuff. Very neat little program that they've got going on. But anyway, the cool thing is that Mark Shuttleworth, this multi-billionaire guy, has some money. Hey. And so he's throwing it around, and he's got things going like advertising that there is a free operating system available for the masses. And so there's a billboard that has gone up. Now, let's see where this billboard went up. Let me click on the article and see where this was seen. It says he used his cell phone. He took a picture of an Ubuntu billboard in the U.S., the first one in the U.S. ever. But it doesn't say where. Says, I was so happy when I walk into Walmart and see free Ubuntu CDs in the place of the free AOL CDs. Dude, that's pretty cool, too. Oh, here it is. It's off the Ralston exit in Redwood City, USA. That would be probably in California. Okay? And the billboard says, Ubuntu, Linux for human beings. But then, between for and human, there's a little kind of written in part that says servers and. So, Linux for servers and human beings. Pretty cool. A billboard for Ubuntu. Rock on. So, words getting out about Ubuntu. Now, I will say this. You know, last week on the podcast, I talked about my Geek Software of the Week, I believe it was last week, was FreeSpire. FreeSpire Linux. Now, I happen to like FreeSpire a little bit better for newbies than Ubuntu. Now, I'll tell you why. Those of you that are out there grinding your teeth and grumbling about Dr. Bill, hold on now. The reason is, remember I said for Windows newbie types in terms of Linux. And that is because of this. If you download Ubuntu or Kubuntu and you install it, which I did just a couple weeks ago, the latest version, and I liked it a lot, first thing I did is go hit a website that needed a flash player. Guess what? You had to download a flash player and install it. And it wasn't a click, set up, and it's installed kind of deal. You had to go in and do Linuxy stuff. And set up that flash player. And I did, and it worked, and it was great. Okay, but if I'm a newbie that's always used Windows and have never used Linux, I would have been completely lost. I'd have thought, dude, this thing does not support Flash. What in the world good is it? Next thing I tried is I went to a website that had a Windows Media Player file to play. Guess what? Ubuntu went, I'm not going to play Windows Media file because it's from the Evil Empire and I don't do the Evil Empire, so there, forget it. Now again, if I'm a Windows guy that's just trying Linux for the first time and I go hit a Windows Media file and it doesn't play, I'm going to go, huh, what good is this? And I'm not going to use Linux again. That's bad news. Now, what's cool about FreeSpire is they already install the Flash player. They already install MPlayer and have the ability to play Windows Media files. In other words, they do all the work for you. They treat you, like Microsoft does, as an idiot. Okay? Here's the point. Microsoft assumes you don't know squat and makes it easy for you to do everything, so easy that you don't even have to do anything. You just go to a website and there it is. Now, you may be infected with spyware and viruses and a bunch of other stuff at the same time, but hey, that's not our problem, according to Microsoft, okay? Now, Linux is safe, but it requires a little bit of thinking, a little thought, a little knowledge, which is kind of the point. Remember at the beginning of the podcast today, I was talking about knowledge to conquer your personal confuser. That's why. See, I knew we were getting to this point in the podcast. I was planning ahead. You didn't think Dr. Bill planned ahead, did you? Ha ha! But I do. Yes, indeed. And that information that you need to use Ubuntu, Kubuntu, and Edubuntu, that information, that knowledge, is what you need to get from listening to podcasts like this and surfing the net and training yourself on how to use Linux. There you go. But most Windows Linux newbie types aren't going to do that. They're not going to take the time. They don't even know where to start. Dude, they don't even know how to use Google. These people are stupid, okay? They're the ones that need FreeSpire. You might say, well, now, wait a minute, Dr. Bill. Hold on. You said FreeSpire was your favorite Linux distro for the desktop. Well, yeah. You know why? Because Dr. Bill, at essence, is essentially lazy. Yes, indeed, I took Kubuntu And I added in this, and I added in that, and I fixed this, and I fixed that, and I added this codec, and I did this, and by the time I got through, I had a very cool operating system that was easy to use, and it was very Windows-y, and it, so forth, so on. It's great. But it took a lot of time, a lot of effort, and even looking up a few things on the internet. And that was cool. It was fun. Don't get me wrong. But with FreeSpire, what did I do? I took the CD, I put it in, I installed it, took 5 minutes. I'm not kidding! 5 minutes, and all that was already done for me. And it's still Debian. I can still use apt-get. I don't have to use CNR if I don't want to, but I can, as an add benefit. And it has all that already pre-installed, and I'm looking for a downside here. Are you seeing a downside at all so far? Well, then why don't we go ahead and use FreeSpire? Instead of being Linux snobs and sitting around going, I'm not going to use FreeSpire because it has a lot of stuff in it, you know, codecs and things that aren't officially open source. Well, tough bananas. Get over it, dude. Because you know what you're going to do. Come here. Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to install them anyway. Because you want to look at that Windows Media file. And you want to look at that flash. So don't tell me you're going to leave it totally pure open source. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do. Okay. So if you're going to do it anyway, why not let FreeSpire do it for you? Go to freespire.org, download it, and use it. Life will be good. Okay, let's move on. And did I mention FreeSpire is free? I mean, that's the first part of the word is FreeSpire. I don't get why so many Linux geeks are just all tore up about FreeSpire. Just plain works for me. Okay, next item. If you want geek cred, that's kind of street cred, you know. If you want geek cred, you need to use a programming language that is not wimpy. You need to use one that is tough. You want real geek cred. So you don't want to play around with anything like BASIC. You want C++, dude, because you want to be able to say, hey, I programmed that in C++, and watch all the people go, ooh, man, he's a real programmer. See? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. However, if you're like me and you're not a real programmer, hey, I'll be the first to admit I am not a real programmer. Nope, not at all. I'm a systems guy. I build systems. I manage systems. I administrate systems. I play with operating systems. I don't get into the application stuff very much, okay, other than to make it work on the system. So I'm not really an application programmer at all. I learned PL1 in college. Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm a little older than you are. Okay, PL1. Everybody's going, PL1? What in the world, PL1? Okay, Programming Language 1. Okay? Get over it. Anyway, I learned that in college. I also learned BASIC on a Radio Shack color computer. Yes, that goes ways back too. I know. And I saved my programs onto a cassette tape connected to the color computer, which had 32K, not meg, K of memory, maxed out. That's as much as you could get on a color computer. Yes, those were the days, my friend. Not necessarily good days, but those were the days. Anyway, point being, that's pretty much the extent of my programming capability, okay? But this C++ tutorial that I'm about to tell you about will take you, if you have just the slightest bit of programming experience, or maybe even if you're a total noob to the whole deal, will take you step by step and show you how to use C++. Very, very nice. They say about themselves, these tutorials explain the C++ language from its basics up to the newest features of ANSI C++, including basic concepts such as arrays or classes, and advanced concepts such as polymorphism. Whoa, dude. Sit around and talk about polymorphism. You've got to be a geek. Or templates. The tutorial is oriented in a practical way with working example programs in all sections to start practicing each lesson right away. In other words, you get immediate gratification that what you are writing as a program runs. Wow! And you can say hello world with the best of them in C++. Gotta love that. So, go to their website. Now, I have a link to it right here. The website is C++, spelled out, C, the letter, PLUS.com. C++.com, and then /doc/tutorial, and you'll get into this tutorial, and it's really pretty cool. If I were you, I would try it. I think you'll like it. Okay? Now, this has been an unusual podcast, I realize, because normally I've got all kinds of geek fun and Ask a Ninja and Every OS Sucks and all kinds of stuff going on. This week I don't have that because guess what? I've been on vacation. And you remember what I told you at the beginning of the podcast? That I was going to ramble incessantly for about 20 some odd minutes after the introduction. And I just about done that. And you, you're out there still listening. I don't know what that says about me, and I don't know what that says about you, but that's okay. Hopefully you've had fun, and hopefully it has been somewhat, just a smidgen, informative. Now, I know that I didn't get into all the tech news that's fit to print this week because I was on vacation. So very, very quickly, I will go to digg.com, D-I-G-G.com, and I will click on This Week in Technology and see what the big stories of the week have been. Even dead people can't escape AOL. A dead man is still being billed. Okay, that's not real exciting. Weird, but not necessarily exciting. The history of the at sign. How did it originate? You mean other than being the letter over the number 2 on the keyboard? Pfft, I don't know. But you can click here and find out. Google, we won't sell music. Well, I'm happy for you. Will the iPod kill satellite radio? Don't know and don't care. You know, I don't think I missed much this week. If this is what's been going on, top stories in technology this week. Pretty lame. Oh, well. Anyway, maybe it was a really good week to take off and take a vacation because it looks like there wasn't a whole lot going on in the tech world of note. So there you go. But if you're interested in the history of the at sign, go to dig.com, do top stories of the week, and you'll find that article. And more power to you. Okay. Next week, when we come back to the podcast, will be a more normal, typical, you know, kind of week. So, if you're looking for something really odd and weird, actually, this has been kind of odd and weird, too. So, I guess we've done okay. Not too bad. So, I think we'll just ease on out of here. What do you think? You think maybe I should do that? I kind of do, yeah. Oh, hey, there's the theme music, so I guess it's official. The Doctor is out!